Share with us, of course, your phone calls from Marjorie Wildcraft, but also your medical horror stories. Did you go in to get the left kidney removed and they ended up taking out the right one? You never know. Wow. You do have two kidneys, don't you? I think you do. We'll be back with Marjorie and your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We are back with your phone calls and your stories, medical horror stories too. Marjorie, and we've heard all kinds where people go in for an operation and they, in surgery, accidentally leave the sponge and the gauze still inside the body and they sew them up.
Yes. Yeah, I know. That's the joke. Oh. You know, the guy has the pair of pliers in there. It's terrible. I mean, you know, we were talking earlier, 10% of deaths in the U.S. are attributable to medical errors. I mean, that's criminal, really.
And they do sometimes. I was somewhat joking, but, you know, they may take out the wrong kidney. And then what do? Then you have to take out the good one.
No, that's fairly well known. I mean, now they're starting to write a magic marker on people of, like, this is, you know, take this here, right? You know, and there's a whole thing called medical advocacy where you can hire somebody who is going to go in with you when you need to go into the hospital for something, and then they intervene, you know, and say, look, you know, you don't really need that procedure, or, you know, they oversee what's going on and oversee what's going on. And it's usually good not to have a family member do that, because often if you're in the hospital for something, your family is in shock, right? So
exactly.
They're not going to be a good medical advocate.
Tell us what you teach people at the Home Summit.
Well, we teach people how to take care of a lot of their own basic medical needs, you know, how to make medicines. We have a wonderful presentation on dealing with anxiety and depression and sleeplessness. You know, we have another one on how just by the taste of an herb you can know what its medicinal properties are. And then, because really food is medicine, we have quite a few presentations on growing your own food. Even if you've never started a garden before, how to start a garden bed. And then, because, you know, tomatoes are so popular, we've got like three presentations on growing tomatoes. So just a whole bevy of, you know, how to do this, how to get started growing your own food, making your own medicine, and becoming responsible for your own health. And really, we've had some amazing transformations from people who are doing this and becoming really healthy.
Yeah, we really do. If you had the right to change something, just wave that magic wand, what would it be?
Ooh, if I had to change, wow, you're giving me superpowers?
I'm giving you superpowers.
You know, I would see that we would have a whole nation of medicine men and medicine women, people that were taking responsibility for their health and doing this and growing their own food and making their own medicine. That is really what I would see. I think that's such a grassroots transformation we absolutely have to have, for not only for our own health, but for the health of the planet.
Yeah, exactly. Let's take some calls here for you this hour. We will start by going to Leo in Flint, Michigan. Hi, Leo. Thanks for calling.
Hi, George. How are you doing tonight?
Okay. Hope you are, too.
Oh, I'm doing well. I'm doing well, my friend.
Great.
Hey, so I haven't had a chance to listen to the discussion for the last 45 minutes or so. I've been trying to call in. But I do, the last thing I remember hearing was talk about vaccinations.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I was just wondering, forgive me, I do not remember the name of your guest tonight.
Her name is Marjorie Wildcraft.
Marjorie Wildcraft. Beautiful. Okay. Wonderful name. Marjorie, so have you heard of any link between the polio vaccine and the origin of the AIDS virus?
Oh, no, I haven't heard of that connection. Although, you know, George had a really good guest on a little while ago called named R.E. Trent.
Tent.
Yeah, who had some very, very interesting causations between the polio vaccine and cancer. But no, I don't know about the AIDS, and I'm not sure if he got into that in that interview or not.
He talked a little bit about that, and of course, there's always been that thought that AIDS was created to get rid of people. Who knows, actually?
Yeah.
But, you know, we do know a lot of sinister things happen on this planet. That's for sure. Can't get away from that. Leo, thanks for your call. Next up, we've got Brian in Wisconsin. Hey, Brian, go ahead.
Hi, Marjorie. Hi, Hi, George. I love the show.
Thank you.
I got a C. diff toxin B infection. It's fatal. I got it from taking clindamycin. It was prescribed by a dentist. I had an infection after having a tooth pulled.
Oh, jeez.
I did the test for yeast in the morning before I went to go see him, and it was positive. And I offered to show him the test on my phone, and he wasn't interested. He said, just take this. He wrote me a prescription. And anyway, I have this C. diff now. I'm on my third occurrence. I've been taking vancomycin. It's not working. And the insurance company won't pay for a fecal transplant. So do you have any kind of cure for C. diff?
Well, we don't use the cure word, but what can you recommend here, Marge?
Wow. You know, I'm going to tell you that is totally out of my depth. I really am most of my stuff is about home medicine for, you know, the most common ailments that come up in a family. And what I'd really recommend is, you know, some of the other resources that are offered here on Coast, and it's a great reason to be a Coast insider because George has had so many wonderful interviews with people who are talking about CBD oils or Joe Dispenza working with, mental and emotional states to achieve health and, Dr. Joel Wallach with lots of information. And to be perfectly honest with you, that is way out of my range.
Brian, Google carnivora.com. I don't want to sound like an advertisement, but truly it is an immune booster. Carnivora.com, carnivora.com. Go to that site and look that up. That apparently has some remarkable ways of taking care of people, Marjorie.
Wow.
Nothing wrong with that. Marcel is with us from Wildcard Line in Ontario, Canada. Hello, Marcel.
Hello, George.
Hey.
Listen, you were talking about superbugs, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Now, there's a couple ways to treat superbugs. North of where I live in Walkerton, they had a really bad E. coli outbreak, and 28 people died, and 200 people had it, and they were going to die.
Oh,
and some doctor came from the States, and he treated them with oil of oregano, which is antifungal, antibacterial, and an antiparasite, antiviral. And another thing is that in some cases when antibiotics don't work on superbugs, people who were given vitamin D or UV radiation therapy from the sun were healed from things that the antibiotics would not touch. Now, most people who get cancer or diseases because of a vitamin D deficiency, but they keep telling us the sun is not good for you. And a lot of seeds and medicine from fruit seeds that will treat those conditions are GMOs. You're lucky to get a seed inside a fruit. So it's like they're almost intentionally trying to kill us, you know.
You would think that, and you're absolutely right. There is this huge vitamin D deficiency that's going
on
now.
God, yeah.
And the use of, you know, the skin lotions to protect you from the sun and the whole sun paranoia is a crazy thing that is killing us. Also, you're absolutely right. Oil of oregano is quite amazing. It's oregano is one of those amazing antibacterial, antifungal plants that have a lot of medicinal properties, and you can grow the oregano in your backyard, you know, make this stuff at home. So you're absolutely right. That's probably a good medicine to really, it sounds like that would be a good one for you to have in your arsenal.
Just got to build up your immunity. And a lot of this, too, Marjorie, is common sense, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much so. And the other thing, too, and, you know, a lot of people, they have this idea that, like, you know, okay, well, I want to take this herb instead of that pill. And you're still in that same sort of a pill is going to fix me mentality when you really it really is a whole much more holistic thing, and good food and a good lifestyle is really going to prevent most things, right? You got to start with that as a basis.
And common sense.
Absolutely.
You really have to do that. You know, yeah. Don't smoke yourself to death and don't eat yourself to death and things like that. You just got to do things in moderation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Eat deeply nutritious food. Go out for a walk. You know, live a life of purpose. You know, breathe. Sometimes just simple breathing can be an incredible medicine.
I do four times a week the Royal Canadian Air Force exercise course. Does not take up a lot of time. You don't need equipment. I do have a treadmill, but that's not required for this. And it's amazing. And I do it 4 days a week. And I've been doing it for 25 years now.
That's awesome. That's a really good regime. I mean, you know.
And it takes discipline. I mean, There are days you wake up and you go, I don't want to do this, but you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Kathleen in Omaha, Nebraska, first-time caller. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, George. How are you?
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Listen, just so everybody knows, read that packet when you check into the hospital. It's a packet you sign.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a paragraph that'll say, not everyone in the hospital wearing a name tag works for the hospital. They're private contractors, and the hospital is not responsible for what they do to you.
Oh, God.
And in 2010 here in Omaha, I had severe osteoporosis, and I had to fall to the ground because I had a pet gate stuck between my legs. Well, I fractured my tibia. And I went into the emergency room, and a fellow came in, and he grabbed my leg, and he just twisted. I was assaulted. So what I had to do was I grabbed the gurney. I pulled myself down because I was in tremendous pain. I started kicking him, and then the other tendon held me down. And then they took me in for an X-ray and said,
God,
have you seen this X-ray? You need surgery now. And so then they told me, you have a breathing problem, so you won't be able to go under general anesthesia. They'd have to drug me, and then they would have to do a spinal epidural. And I'm in some trouble. I knew that paralyzing was on the way. So I was on crutches for over 3 years. And, George, can you believe it? Maybe there is a God. That leg healed perfectly. My doctor showed me an X-ray. He said, unbelievable.
What did you do? What did you do to make it heal?
Do you know, I went into the hospital again because they put the splint on too tight, and it was so painful. I had to call them ambulance again because I'd pass out from the pain. And then the second place, they didn't put a foot pad in, so I cut the stuff off, and I had to pull my foot up and, you know, get it set. And I just stayed in place, you know, for like a week. And then I got up on crutches, and I just mowed along. You know, I just went along, like I said, 3 years. But the gravity pulled the bones, you know, in line.
It's remarkable.
Well, listen, if you're out there.
Or a miracle.
No, well, I tell you what, if you're out there and you know that there's something really wrong, don't trust. Go on your own judgment. If you think there's something wrong.
There probably is.
Well, like my mom said, if you don't get in there and get surgery, then you just go sit in your car. And I'm laying on the couch. I'm going, man, I got a broken leg. Now I got to go sit in the car. So anyway, I didn't move. But trust your own judgment, people. Don't, because you know what? You don't come back from being paralyzed. And some of these mistakes, like losing kidneys and limbs, you don't come back from that. So trust your gut and trust, I guess, in God or something higher than you. And thanks so much. Everybody
thanks,
have a great
Kev.
Night.
I appreciate that. I mean, it's good advice there, Marjorie.
You know, about 8 months ago, I slipped in the kitchen and fell on my elbow. And,
did you catch yourself? You went all the way down.
No, I landed on my elbow. And then my husband and my son looked at me and they said, oh, my God. And they thought that I had completely shattered the elbow. And I was like, what's wrong, you guys? I mean, I know I just fell. And they're like, we got to go to the hospital right now. Mom, we got to go. I'm going to go get the car. And I said, what's wrong? And I knew I'd fallen. And I reached down with the other hand, and I felt. And you know where you normally have your bone and your elbows there?
Yeah.
Well, there was nothing.
I mean, oh, my God.
A big gaping hole. And I thought, oh, my God, my elbow. And I did not feel my elbow was broken because a broken bone has an intensity of pain. And I said, you know, I'm at least, if we're breaking laws of speed, you know, we're at least 45 minutes from the hospital. And I knew that if I didn't do something, that it would, you know, freeze, it would all get swollen, it would be swollen out of place, and it would be a huge drama. And so I just started breathing and rocking back and forth and breathing and rocking back and forth. And in about 5 minutes, that bone popped back into place. And I had it in a sling for about a month,
And you're right. I just kept checking in with my intuition and my body and saying, am I doing the right thing? Is this, you know, should I go to a doctor? Should I check in here? How do I feel? And, you know, should I move it a lot or move it a little? And I just kept working with myself and working with myself. And, I, you know, there was an intense pressure from outside family, like, you got to go see a doctor. And I never did. I did call one doctor, a sports medicine guy, and he talked me through the phone, and we described the whole thing. And he finally said, well, you know, really, you've pretty much done anything that can be done. And the elbow now is, you know, it's 95% there. I'm just working with that last few percentage. But you know, they're really, but I was constantly checking in, you know, and if I felt like, if I felt like I'd have needed some kind of help, I might have gone to a physical therapist, but I didn't, you know, I just kept checking in with myself, and I ended up, you know, pretty much healing the whole thing on my own.
That's pretty remarkable. What would you say, Marjorie, might be the biggest medical horror story that you've come across?
Ooh, wow, let me think. You know, I don't have a lot to do with the medical system.
Or they cut the wrong toe off or something like that.
There's so many stories that I've heard from other people, though.
And they're crazy.
And they really are. You know, my mom has always said, don't go to the doctor. She always told me that. Don't go to the doctor and stay out of hospitals. And, you know, and she was a bit of a contrarian like that, and I really, really appreciate that wisdom now. She was always like, you know, eat good food and take care of yourself and don't go to the doctors. And so I've really avoided them all my life. Yeah, so I don't have a lot personally of horror stories.
But they're out there.
But they're out there. Oh, my gosh.
They are,
you know,
out there.
Really?
The wrong prescriptions. Like I was sewing people up, like I mentioned, you know, with the instruments and sponges still inside. And then they got to cut you back open. I had a friend of mine. He's an ophthalmologist in St. Louis. He went in for a colonoscopy, and the doctor punctured his colon. They had to open him up, and they removed it. And then they had to put it back in about a week later.
Oh.
It was unbelievable. I mean, it took him 3 years to even attempt to get back to where he was.
Oh, my gosh. It, yeah, that's terrible.
Killed his eye practice and everything else.
Yeah.
Punctured it. You know, and his whole body got the septic, you know, shock. All this infection everywhere.
And they say medical error is only the third leading cause. I mean, I say it's the first. I really do.
It could be. It could be. Well, when you combine it with the other reasons people die from maybe misdiagnosis or something like that. I like doctors who are thorough, who are, you know, they'll rely on pharmaceuticals if need be, but they want you to go as much natural as you can, but that they rely a lot on just, you know, science.
Yes. And there are, fortunately, we're getting more and more practitioners that are that way. You know,
they're learning. They're beginning to learn.
They're beginning to learn, and I think it's partly because so many people are turning away from the conventional medicine. You know, and they're going, "Wait a minute."
That's right, Marjorie. Give us your websites if you would, even though we have the link for you.
HomeMedicineSummit.com. HomeMedicineSummit.com, and it's free for a week. We've got 46 presentations by different herbalists and different gardeners and different healthcare practitioners teaching you how to make your own medicine and how to grow your own food and how to become extraordinarily
super
healthy.
Let's come back and take final phone calls with you. Welcome back. Marjorie Wildcraft is with us, founder of The Grow Network. If you had to categorize a title for yourself, Marjorie, what would that be?
Yes, let's see. I'm a medicine woman. You know, I'm the mom that I really wanted to be when I first started out, right?
Yeah.
Taking care of my family. I really feel that the medical system has just totally intervened. When we get sick, if the first thing you're doing is running out to the drugstore to go get cough syrup for your kid or something like that, you know, that just really robs the whole thing versus, you know, making your own cough syrup and giving that to them and seeing the power. You know, if you just have one experience where you realize the power of herbs to heal, it really transforms you and it really changes you.
Well, it sure does. And one of the toughest things for a parent, because we all want to do right by our kids.
Yeah.
And then we don't want to make mistakes. And so on one hand, of course, we're getting pounded by get vaccinated. You need this for your children. You need this to build up their immunity so they don't get this and that. And so as a parent, you really want to take care of them. And it scares the living daylights out of you. What if you make a mistake?
Right.
What if you don't get that vaccination and they really need it? It's a tough, tough decision for parents.
It is. That's why, you know, the path of becoming your own medicine man or medicine woman is a different path. And you really do have to take personal responsibility. And it is tough. And it's really especially tough when you have family or friends that are going to say, hey, you know, you made a mistake or something like that. But I will tell you, it's so rewarding. It is incredibly rewarding. And, you know, it's taken a while for my family to trust that I actually do know a little bit about healing and taking care. And I mostly have been doing it on myself for years. And then they're saying, oh, my God, you know, she did that and she did that and she did that. And now they're really becoming, and I got to tell you, My 18-year-old son came up to me the other day, and he goes, Mom, you know, I got a sore throat. What you got for me? And I got to tell you, you know, I mean, he's sick.
You're their shaman, their personal shaman, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't happy he was sick, but I was just thrilled that he would come to me before he thought of anything else. And there's the family bond, or, you know, that time.
And he'll do that with his kids, too.
Yeah, or my daughter, you know, back when she was about 11 and had a really bad fever, and I was there with her. You know, we had you know, cold rags to cool off her head and the different things that I was doing with her. I carried her through that, and I did that, and she knows that. And you know, there's a bond there. When I got bit by the snake, my husband and my daughter were the ones who were taking care of me. You know, and they're, I know they've got my back in a way that, you know, if you always are turning to the medical system, then you don't have that family bond anymore. You know, they've stepped in the way of that, right?
Let's go to the phones again. Richard in Goldsboro, North Carolina is with us. Hey, Richard, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, George, Marjorie, how are you guys?
Hi there, Rich. Good.
Marjorie, I wanted to ask if you were going to use a regimen of products that are not prescription for infection to get rid of it internally and externally, because, well, everything that's in your body comes out on your skin. Could you maybe give me a couple of things that they might use?
You know, that's a pretty big topic, and I'll tell you what, we created a whole video set on that called Treating Infections Without Antibiotics.
Yes, you have.
And if you check that out over there at the Coast website there, they'll have the link for you for that. And, and those, you know, I've used those techniques not only for that snake bite, but mastitis, conjunctivitis of the eye.
They're on your website, right, all these videos?
All these different videos, yep. And head over to the Coast thing there and treating infections without antibiotics, and I'd really recommend you take a look at that.
Do you do YouTube at all?
I do have a YouTube channel. We aren't super active. Why do you ask?
Well, because everybody seems to be doing that these days.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good way to get quick information out to people. We're doing it. We've got our own YouTube channel now for the radio show.
Nice. Well, you know, maybe I should put more out there then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You might as well. Nothing to lose. Let's go next to Lynn in the state of Maine, east of the Rockies. Hi, Lynn. Good morning.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I love your program. There isn't anything I ever find that's not interesting.
Oh.
I'm a nurse, and I have seen my share of mistakes in operations.
Oh, boy. I bet you have.
Yeah.
And, I have grown herbs, and I even know a lot of herbs that are out in the woods that are medicinal.
Mm-hmm.
But I have two questions for you. I was recently diagnosed with breast cancer, and they have me on letrozole. It kind of blocks any estrogen in your body that's still left over.
Uh-huh.
I'm also on Lipitor, and I was wondering, I can't find anything for herbal medicine instead of taking the pills.
And Lipitor, of course, is for high cholesterol, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. But there's some natural things you can do for that. Marjorie, all kinds of stuff,
yeah,
right?
There's all kinds of natural alternatives. And, you know, I know George has done a lot of great interviews with all kinds of people. And, you know, the last one you had with the guy with the CBD oil was getting a lot of great results.
Earl Mindell. Remember him? The old vitamin guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, I don't know, Dr. Wallach's group may have something for you there. You know, and then, of course, we've got to ask the real basic question is, you know, what? How's your diet? Are you eating whole foods and avoiding, you know, cancer just lives on sugar, right? And so, you know,
that's what they say.
Yeah, so you, I just had a friend who everybody in his family, 27 relatives, all died of cancer in their 40s and 50s, and he's now 70-something. And I said, how did you do it? And he said, I quit eating sugar. It's the primary thing.
Yeah.
You know?
That helps.
Yeah.
Let's go to John, Virginia Beach, Virginia. First-time caller for us with John. Hi, John. Good morning.
George, nice speaking to you and Marjorie.
You too, sir.
A first-time caller, but I've been listening to your program for quite a while.
Thank you. What got you to call?
Well, I tell you what. We were talking about you know, horror stories and going to the hospital and so forth. But now I'll try to keep this as short as possible because no limit of time.
All right, get a little closer to your phone, John, if you could for us.
Can you hear me now?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Anyway, my grandmother told me a story when I was a young boy, and it was fascinating then, but it's even more fascinating today. But what happened was from Virginia Beach, there's a community called Deep Creek. It used to be all farmed area back in that time. But anyway, someone left two baby boys on a footstep of a friend of hers that lived on a farm.
Jeez.
Mm.
So, can you hear me, George?
Yeah. If you could get closer, that would help.
Let me turn my phone up. Hold on one moment.
Okay. We'll do that.
Wow. Two baby boys.
Okay. All right.
There you are. That's good.
Oh,
that's there you go, John.
Yeah, heads up.
There you go. Now you sound like you're in our studio.
Yeah, a little nervous, but first caller. But in any event, these two babies were put on the farm's steps, and this on the farm. Anyway, there were no information on who these two baby boys were, with the fact that they were albinos, and they thought, but they later found that they weren't. They just had no hair on their body at all. But anyway, the boys went to school until they were about 12 years old, and they were very, very intelligent. And they invented things at the age of 12 that other people were just beginning to, you know, come around on. But anyway, keep going. One of the boys, when he was about 17 years old, my grandmother told me, and my grandmother is a very religious and very truthful person, and I don't think she would lie, and her sister also told me. But in any event, one of the boys went to the hospital. He had a broken arm, badly broken, and they had to operate on him. And so when they operated on him, they, of course, took his blood type and so forth and so on. But they had no other blood test ever came back like that. So they called in his twin and tested his blood, and it was the same thing, of course. But they had no blood test up to that point that matched either one of them. So when they were 19, I think they were 18 or 19, they were drafted into World War II. They both went to France and were in France. And about a year or two before the war was over, they got a letter of his people that had picked him up as orphans. You know, they got a letter stating that they were both missing in action. So, of course, this was a shock. This woman wasn't her natural children, but they were her children nonetheless. But in any event, and when the war was over, they came home, both of them, and they didn't know why they had gotten that letter. But in any event, they did. But then they came, and when the war was over, they came back home. And they were home for about 6 months, or even a little bit longer than that. And when they went back to their home, they had built a cabin out in a place called Lake Drummond, right on the lake. And another thing, too, when these two boys were left there, the only thing they had on was their name, Ecky and Wessie, and no other signs of identification. But so anyway, what happened, they had this cabin out on Lake Drummond, and they put in their own watering system, put in their a lot of utilities that weren't even known to that point. But anyway, they went back about 6 months, maybe a year, my grandma said, and back on the cabin where they had built. And people went back to check on them because they were always pretty prompt wherever they went.
Mm-hmm.
So in any event, they never could find them. The only thing they found in the cabin outside was a circle, a black circle.
Black circle? Where'd they go?
They don't know. To this day, they don't know.
They still haven't found them?
Oh, no. This was 1946, I think it was.
So 70 years, they're gone.
Yeah, yeah. And but the only thing left there, and they had a bunch of hunting dogs, and they were all gone also. But I think McGrimmo said they were found later.
Did this circle look like a burned-out circle?
Yeah, that's what my grandma said. It looked like somebody had burnt. She thought maybe it might have been a camp site or something, but
it was too round for that.
Yeah, it was. My grandma said it was an exact round circle, and to this day they don't know where they were. They don't know where they came from.
Wow, Marge, it's not medically related, but it's a great UFO story.
It's sure fascinating. Reminds me of that guest you had on a while ago. It was talking about strange disappearances.
Yeah, David Politis. I mean, that's a bizarre story too.
Yeah. Yeah.
People just vanishing, just disappearing. Well, in the couple minutes that we have left, Marjorie, would you tell people about the Home Medicine Summit? Do they physically have to be there, or they do it online?
No, this is an online event, and it's totally free.
Free? Love you. That's great.
Right, we do it free for a week because I really want to get this information out there. And you know, in your living room, wherever you want, on your smartphone, 46 presentations. All about, making your own medicine, growing your own food, becoming healthy. It's just an amazing event. It's free registration, homemedicinesummit.com, your first name and your best email address, and you're in.
And it's remarkable, though, and I'm impressed, how many people are beginning to learn how to take care of themselves.
I am so encouraged by that. Really, the purpose of the GROW Network is to stop the destruction of the earth, and your body is part of the earth. But commercial agriculture and conventional medicine are two of the most destructive forces on the planet.
Yeah, it sure is.
And so that's, by growing our own food and making our own medicine and becoming healthy, it's good for you and it's good for everything around us. We can collectively stop the insanity.
Couple minutes left. Let's go to Wayne in Chicago. Let's squeeze you in here, Wayne.
Oh, thank you so much, George.
Sure.
And thank your guests also. Yes, I have two quick questions. I know we're running out of time. I want to know, how good is garlic against viruses like HIV, human papilloma, herpes? And also, here's a question. I don't know if anybody's ever thought of this. Bleach kills HIV on contact. So can't they find a way to separate some of the elements or the compounds in bleach?
Interesting question.
To help human beings?
Go with the garlic question first, Marjorie.
Wow. Well, again, those are pretty big diseases that are generally out
yes,
of my range.
They
I mean,
are.
I'm mostly dealing with home medicine, like the 12 most common ailments that come up in a family. And so I'm going to defer that to other practitioners who are much more knowledgeable in that. And then, it sounds like you already know about what to do with HIV and bleach. That's pretty interesting news to me, but I'm not surprised. We have so much exciting, as this movement awakens and people start taking more responsibility and trying things, sometimes we're going to make some mistakes and do some crazy things, and our friends will go, why'd you do that? But then on the other hand, we're going to make all kinds of discoveries, and overall, I am by far one of the healthiest 55-year-old women that I know of,
Absolutely.
In my family. I look at all the people around me that are doing all these other things that are trusting the medical system, and they're always in the medical system.
That's the best. Marjorie, thank you for being on the show. Keep in touch with us, okay?
Thanks.
so much, George. We'll be back soon.
Absolutely. Marjorie Wildcraft. Everything you need to know about what she does, linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, Dr. Marty Becker joins me as we talk about a positive program to free your dog from anxiety, fears, and phobias. I kid you not. That'll be our next Coast to Coast show.